Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for everything you do. We praise and worship you. We just thank you that we can hear your word, hear the guidance of our life, Lord. You are our North Star. Your word directs us. And we just pray that we get rooted deeper in you today. And in your name, amen. How's everyone's week?
Good.
Anybody get any revelation at all this week?
Life's good. All the time.
All the time. Well,
I got confirmation that I'm healed.
yeah,
It's
let's
good
make that
news.
announcement.
Yeah. Just I go every time I go back, it's like an extra week, an extra week. And doctor said, well, everything looks like it's holding. It's just that pesky little liquid fluid that's in there. And I go, well, why was that? And he goes, and he goes, oh, no, there's no fluid in here. He said, write you in 7 weeks, we'll bring you in eight next, and then we'll make it to 12 and dismiss you. I'm like,
Yay!
awesome. Praise God. And
Healed.
healed. Bam. Yeah.
Amen to
Amen.
that.
Yeah.
Praise God.
And I wanted to say that that morning I was praying and asking God, it's like, Lord, I do see symptoms and I just don't understand. I believe and I don't, you know, I was like saying, just tell me. And then I got confirmation I'm healed. So I'm like, I don't care about symptoms anymore.
Well, God showed me some. He put some things on my heart that I think we'll start looking at on Wednesdays. So we're going to go there. So don't want to miss.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Okay. So
Okay.
last week we were talking about the power of God's word. And we will kind of breeze through this because a lot of this is part two that we're going through today. But the word in creation is where we started. And in Hebrews 1:3, it said, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, Jesus being the God, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So upholding all things by the word of his power. Mark 13:31. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will no means pass away. And Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So the whole world was framed by the word of God from something that was invisible. And 1 Peter 1:23, the last one. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So God's word is the incorruptible seed. It doesn't perish, it doesn't die. It's the constant, right? And then we talked about the word made flesh, and that was Jesus as the word of God. We know that. He was spoken into existence by all the prophecy about him. And then we looked at the parable of the sower, and that was all about the soil, and that was the condition of our heart and accepting God's word. So we've looked at that parable a few times. We know about that. And then the next section was about preparing your heart, just like what Jen wrote in her blog thing that's now up on the website. You have access to it. And you had it on your text messages too. But remember, make sure what you're hearing is good. There's a lot of seeds competing for that soil in your heart. And we'll be speaking about that again today too. So that's our quick little review of what we looked at last week. Guys, I'm sure you guys were all in it all week long. Don't even need to hear that, but let's go to part two. Okay, the word is seed, just like that parable, right? As we meditate on the word of God and speak it, that word acts like a seed in our hearts that will bear fruit. If you plant a seed, it will bear fruit. There's life in the seed, but it must be planted. If seed stays on the shelf, they will never germinate and bear fruit, right? You get the little packets of seeds, it never grows in there. You have to plant it in the soil. So the word must be planted in our hearts. And then that word's got to be rooted and become heart knowledge and not just head knowledge. Right? That's what being rooted means. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the fruit of the word of God that we hear. This is important because it is by faith that we access all of the promises of God, and that includes healing. Hey, how do we access the promises of God? And you still got it. You still remember it. Thought I'd catch you, even though I just told you the answer. Good job. Okay, words. Words are the fruit of the heart. Okay. The words that we hear all around us are also seeds that can be planted in our hearts if we allow it. It is almost as if they are competing seeds with the seed of the word of God. You know, our experiences could be telling our heart something. Other people's opinions could be telling us something. What others think, maybe what TV and the media tells us, what, maybe we've got a doctor's report, etc., right? Those words that we hear from the outside that don't come from this is the competing seeds. There are two parts of this process: taking care of what we hear so that we can ensure we are planting the good seed of the Word of God in our hearts, and also taking care regarding the words that come from our own mouths. Right? So the words are the fruit of the heart. You know, what's in your heart is going to come out. Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So I guess what comes out of your mouth is the harvest of what's going on in your heart. Micah, on Wednesday, we were talking about our Philippians study, right? And it was talking about complaining. Right, I'm one of the chief complainers. I think I'm actually getting pretty bad. I'm getting better at it, but I used to be really bad about complaining. And really, it was a condition of my heart, right? You know, at work, you know, one of the biggest squabbles at work where people don't get along is who gets overtime, who doesn't, right? And really, if someone gets overtime and I don't, it's like, why does he get overtime? And really, what is that? That's envy. You know, that's it's covetedness or whatever. It's that's in my heart. Like, I want what he got. How come I didn't get that? How come it's not fair? And you start playing all the victim game and whatever. But really, me saying, complaining about that would be the condition of my heart, what I have in my heart, which is envy and covetedness or whatever. That came out of my mouth. And I feel like the more at peace I am, the less that stuff's coming out now. So starting to catch a little bit of that now. And now I'm realizing what I do get is the opportunity that the Lord gave me.
And just to touch on that, which I kind of touched on too, is when you are complaining about something, you're basically saying, "Hey, God, you got it wrong. I deserve that. They don't deserve that. I should have got that. They should have got that." Now you're telling God that He did the wrong thing and blessing them and not blessing you.
So, a little testimony from myself, but it's a good example of, you know, the things I speak is coming from where I'm at in my heart. Okay, Matthew 12:34, Jesus, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak anything good? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So even Jesus knew your hearts are corrupt. Don't try to come out here saying good things, because it ain't true from that heart of yours. Your words are a result of the type of seed that has been planted in your heart. If you bring good seed in, you're going to produce good seed out, right? A good harvest out. Garbage in, it's going to equal garbage out. Seeds create harvests, regardless of whether they are good or bad. Perhaps you're experiencing a harvest of sickness, poverty, or stress, okay? So let's say that's what we're experiencing then. So when that happens, we need to do some spiritual gardening and uproot those seeds that have caused those unwanted harvests. Next section, God's word cannot fail. Rather than imitating the world around us, we should be imitating our Heavenly Father and what we say. In Isaiah 55:11, so shall my words be that go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Every word that God speaks is a seed with a defined purpose that will prosper in that purpose. So we should be imitating that. Okay? We don't doubt that that's how God's word works, right? God says, let there be light, and there was light. So, you know, we don't doubt that, but we could doubt ourselves. So we should be imitating that, though, also. The word of God that has been spoken to you regarding healing will not return void. It cannot fail. So you've heard God's word on healing. We've been doing a lot of this talk. Okay, that word that came from here that we've been speaking these months, it's not going to fail. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction, right? He put that in Psalms 107:20, and it shall not return to him void. It's not going to return back to the Lord void. God's word cannot fail. It's an incorruptible seed. Everybody understand? All right. So the word in our mouths is powerful also. The word in our mouths is just as powerful as if he had spoken it himself. Where's he dwell at? Where's the temple of the Lord? In us, right? So when we speak, he's in us too. Okay, we need to realize that. Isaiah 51:16 says, I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you in the shadow of my hand that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. When we speak what God has said about our situations, it's as if God is saying it himself. Okay? So we speak what God says. And we'll get to it later, but that's what confession means. So we'll get there. God's creative power is in our words. In Romans 10:8, it says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. When we speak out the word of God and mix it with faith, that is where the power is at. Christy, what's faith?
Sure, what you hope for and certain.
Being sure and being certain. Okay. What? So that's 10:8. Who knows Romans 10:10? Come on, be sure of what you're saying. You're on it. You're on it.
You confess with your mouth.
If you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you will have salvation, right? That you believe in the Lord. So right before that, it's telling us the word is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So you are having faith. You believed it in your heart and you spoke it with your mouth. That's how we receive salvation in the first place. That's where the power is at. And that was for salvation. And we can do that for other things as well. All right? It is written. Jesus himself was the product of hundreds of years of prophetic words. He was spoken into existence. Can't read that phrase without thinking about LeVar Ball. I spoke it into existence. My boy's going to be basketball players. Jesus himself was the product of 100 years of prophetic words. He was spoken into existence. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus rebuked the plans of the enemy with the word of God. And we have to talk back to the enemy, just like Jesus did. If we're supposed to imitate him, when we get something that comes up against the word of God, we have to rebuke it. Not by thinking it, but by saying it. That's where the power is, believing it and saying it. The spoken word of God coming out of our mouths has the power to sustain us. The enemy will try to steal the word of God from you and keep you from speaking it out. He will also attack you in your mind to doubt that word. Remember, it's mixed with faith, the part that you speak and believing it in your heart. So if he can't stop you from speaking out loud, he can get you to doubt in your heart, you know, and deceive you.
He doesn't want us to know his power.
No, he doesn't want us to even use our power. Micah, what was what we talked about this morning? Like, he who is in me is stronger than him. Greater than he. Then.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just kind of saying that, like, Satan's absolutely stronger than anything you can do in your own power, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we need to use the one that is in us.
Yeah, because Satan's alive. He's just a deceiver.
Yep.
They're alive.
It's all he's got.
When Jesus and the disciples faced a terrible storm, Jesus had to speak peace to the storm. He took authority with his words. He didn't think it. He said it out loud. What do you say? Peace, be still. So Jesus believed in his heart that he had that authority, and he knew that, and he had the authority to do it. That's where faith comes from, right? He was exercising faith in that situation. What are you saying to your body as symptoms talk to you? You need to talk back to the enemy and whatever else is contrary to the word of God. So when you're getting attacked by the way something is painful, symptoms you're getting, what, I mean, remember, we're still talking about healing, but this works, this is faith. This works for all sorts of things, right? Anything contrary to the word. If he says, I am healed by his stripes, that's what I'm going to say. I am healed, and I don't care. Body, you better get in line, right?
Jennifer talked to her checkbook. She did, yeah.
Tell us.
I was broke.
Yeah? And that's not the prosperity that God...
No, and I spoke to my checkbook and told it, you better do something, do it quicker, but I forget what that is. And he got offered a job, like about a day later or something.
But that's faith right there.
Yeah. I was trying to. You can't tell everybody you talk to your checkbook. Only people of faith, right?
Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You can speak both life and death by your words, right? Yeah. So speak life. One thing that he doesn't want us to know is we have power in our words. So he will let us keep speaking death on ourselves. Oh, yeah. All right. Hey, nice to meet you. I'm Dan. I have a spinal cord injury. That's why I'm like this, you know. That was my identity for a while. You know what I mean? And I kept speaking those things. And luckily, I had people here to say, hey, stop that. You know, I need them, right? We all need that. Yeah. But
I guess that's how you can have belief and unbelief, like mm-hmm. the father who said that, you know.
Yeah,
because
we have that part in here.
We
coming
speak.
Up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's okay.
You speak life, and then you speak death. You know, follow up with something negative or something.
Yeah. Who's got their Bibles? Somebody read Isaiah 54:17.
No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed. And you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord.
So we need to, you said refute, but condemn these words, right? So we need to, in these words, it includes our own words as well.
We have to curse those.
We have to curse the words that came from a bad harvest, from weeds. And we have to pluck those out of there. Oh, gosh, there was a weed that showed up. Let me yank that out. You know what I mean? Okay, 6, watch your tongue. It is very easy to confess and talk about how we feel over and over again.
Yep.
I get home from work. How you doing? I'm tired. You know, my feet hurt. You know, it's hot. Like, none of those give life. It's just me speaking how bad I feel at the end of the day or whatever, right? It's actually quite normal to focus on our feelings. How are you feeling today? It's a common question, right? However, as spiritual beings, we are spiritual beings. We don't just live in the realm of our flesh and our feelings. Okay? Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death," right? That's feelings based, fleshly minded. That's what carnally minded is. "But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So we have, remember, we did the study, spirit, soul, and body, right? We're three parts, one part spirit, one part soul, and then there's this body part. What's the part we're always focusing on? The part that's going to die,
The body.
the part that's going to not go with us, right? Focusing on our feelings will bring death, but speaking the word will bring life and peace. So, focusing on the part of me that doesn't live forever was my note there. Like, why would I invest in that? I should be investing in the part that's gonna rule and reign with Christ forever. Your body responds to your voice. We just had this talk. Christ is in me. Part of in my voice is Christ, and his words are in my mouth. Don't deny your feelings, but speak what is true spiritually according to the word of God. So think about it this way. What's my body going to be like in heaven?
Careful.
Perfect?
Skinny. I'll be skinny.
Glorified, a glorified
Skinny.
body? Okay. Well, guess what? In heaven, there's no time construct, right? That's who I am right now. I don't get a new body. I just get to live in that one that's already here. It's in my spirit. That is who I am in the spirit, right? So it's my spiritual body right now. It's not like, okay, this body died and now I'm up there and oh, here's a new one. No, we're spiritual beings in a spiritual place up there. That's me right now, and it's perfect. Okay, so what am I looking at when I'm having faith? When I'm having faith for healing, what am I looking at? I'm looking at that perfect spiritual body. I don't have that condition in the spirit. And when I start believing that and trusting that and knowing that, like with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind, those things start manifesting in this outward body. James 3:4. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Your tongue can direct the entire course of your life, good or bad. Okay. Your world is framed by words. Hebrews 11:3, we read this earlier. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Our words need to reflect what is invisible, not just repeating what we see or feel. The carnal things from our five senses, right? How do you feel? How are you feeling today? Right? We need to reflect the invisible. What's the invisible? My glorified body? My perfect spiritual body? Okay, we need to reflect what is invisible, not just repeating what we see or feel. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Our confession is the profession of our tongues, right? What we say, a confession of profession, same thing. I'm professing it, I'm confessing it, I'm saying it out loud. We should be saying the same as Jesus is saying. And that's what the meaning of confession. When you confess your sins, you're saying, this word says this, and I did the opposite, and I'm confessing that I too know and believe that what this word, this was that, and I was in sin. Confess your sins to one another. I did not do what the word of God says, and I agree that that's the right thing. You're in agreement with Jesus is saying. As we are speaking, our words are building something. If we could see what we are building with our words, we would be much more intentional about what we are saying. Okay? If we could just see what we're doing when we speak. What's one of the the things we're going to have to stand in front of them for every idle word we said, right? That's, you know, I'm like, eh, that's, you know, is that the mean things I said to any to people? Is that, you know, the bad stuff that came out of my mouth? Well, idle is non-productive, right? You didn't build anything with that. Maybe you built some wood, hay, and whatever burns up in the fire. You know what I mean? So we're building something when we speak, but we can't see it, but we should be conscious of it. Do not take ownership of your symptoms, because that gives power to them. Okay, so when I speak about my symptoms, I'm giving those symptoms power. Use your words. You can pray for crop failure of those negative words you have spoken before. Begin to uproot the negative by speaking the word of God instead. So this isn't just be like, hey, stop being negative. Be more positive all the time. You know, no. The good words is what's in here. There's only one that's good, right? And that's, Jesus said that's God. So let's speak his words. Speak, and Jesus is God, so we'll speak his words too. You know, it's not about the whole feel good hippie vibe thing. It's like, no, this is the word that we're putting on the throne. Jesus rebuked the enemy by saying, it is written. He rebuked the storm when he said, peace, be still. Okay, this Mark 11, 23 and 24, we're going to break a little bit of it down. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, that's what we were reading in Romans 10, right? But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And that verse, it says the word says like four times. But let's talk about the first three. Notice there's three times as much saying as there is believing. Believing is important, but there's a big part of speaking. So I think believing, we saw it once in that scripture, but saying was like three times. Some of us are believing, but we've stopped speaking. The enemy is trying to silence us. There's lots of times when I thought it, that's good enough. There's no power in that. Okay. We've been given authority to use our words, and we don't do it. Okay. Some of us are believing, but we've stopped speaking. But also we know the opposite is true. Some of us are speaking, but we're not believing. Okay. So faith again.
Sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see.
All right. That's being sure of and certain of, right? Remember what my mom brought up. Father, or the son says, I believe, but help me with my unbelief, right? He did believe, but remember we did a whole study on this on, was it Monday nights back then when we got together? Remember? What was the things that work against faith? Huh? Unbelief. What else? Fear. Doubt. Unforgiveness. Right? So, and it says there's only, this one, it takes fasting and prayer. Spending time with the Lord to get that unbelief out of you. To be able to cast out those things, you know what I mean?
Because fasting, it fights against our spirit, our carnal, our carnality, our body, our, that's where the unbelief is. Never mind. If we fast, it says there's no power in fasting except for against our bodies who are not in authority.
Fasting is a time where we're laying everything down to be with,
yes,
to be with God. Mentally and spiritually and all of those things. I'm not feeding my flesh anything. I'm only feeding my spirit during this time.
Yeah.
And that's how you get rid of that unbelief, and you come to a place with him where it's, your faith is strengthened, right? So that's what was going on with the father, right? I believe you, Jesus, that you can heal him, but help me with my unbelief, because I'm still scared. I still doubt. I still I'm thinking of the worst for my son who's trying to cast himself into a fire at the time. Right. So he's it's what he saw with his visual eyes was working against what he could believe in his heart. When you're facing a giant, it's not the time to be quiet. You guys remember David and Goliath? David talked some trash to Goliath. Goliath was just there talking trash to the Israelites, and they all got fearful. But when David went up against them, he says, "You uncircumcised, whatever, I'm going to take you out, and I'm going to take your brothers out too." Little David said that to a big old giant. Right? It's not the time to be quiet when you're facing a giant. And what are our giants today? Sickness, whatever we're going up against, whatever is the thing that's attacking us the most, right? This happens to be a healing teaching, but it could be finances, it could be relationships, it could be anything, right? We all have giants that we're facing that we're cowering from. But it's not the time to be quiet. We have power in our words. Let's talk about this Mark 11, right? The first says in the Greek word epo, which means to speak as in a commandment. So it says, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, epo, it means command, whoever commands, I say to you, command to this mountain, be removed." So that says is epo, command, right? It isn't polite. Commands the problem to leave. Brian, you got a big old giant in your house, Boomer, right? And when he's doing something that you don't want him to do, what do?
Talk sternly to you.
You command him, get off that couch, get over here, right? That's a command. That's not polite. You're commanding that big old monster to move, right? Think about it that way. That's what we have to do when we're facing big old monsters. We need to command it. Who has the authority? We do, because God is in us. Okay, and he's given us all authority to trample on snakes and whatever that verse says. Command the problem to leave. Boomer, you're the problem. Leave the couch. The second says, which is be removed and does not doubt his heart, but believes those things he says will be done. That says is laleo, which means to speak out with your own voice and to be bold. So, but believes that those things that he says in his own voice and boldness, and not what he thinks, but what he says boldly, will be done. Okay, does that give you guys some clarity on that? Okay, and then your body is created to respond to the sound of your own voice first. So that's the way it's created. I need to speak to my own body to get in line before somebody else does. Okay, now of course somebody else could help me if I'm so unfaithful and not believing in those things, and I need it. I need that. But remember, this verse is telling us, do it and do it boldly, do it sternly, and he will have whatever he says. So that's the third say. He will have whatever he says. That's Lego. It's where that toy was named after, this word right here. And Lego, which means a systematic discourse, like building blocks of creativity coming out of our mouths. Remember, we said we're building something with our words, building blocks, right? Those are Legos. We understand that, right? So the things that we speak are building blocks. So he will have whatever he says. That means we're building something. Hold fast to the confession of faith. Believe what you can't see. Certain of the things we I mean, I always need you on this one. I listen to the be sure and be certain. That's the part I listen to. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. The believing is the first part by taking the word and planting it in our hearts. Let it get rooted in our hearts, right? But But then we use the power in our words. Okay. So now the good harvest that's coming out of our hearts by having faith in God's word is now coming, harvesting through our mouth. And that's where the power comes from. We have the power to change what we say and determine the harvest of our words. When we start doing this, we're going to start seeing the fruit and we're going to have a good harvest of healing. Of course, it isn't just healing, like I keep trying to reiterate. This is just really faith. These are steps of faith that will help us be healed and help us overcome the other things that we deal with. Any questions, comments, concerns?
It's like the woman with the issue of blood, she said,
If I could only touch him,
I'll be healed.
I'll be healed. She said it.
He said
There
it.
was power in that. And then she followed through with her faith, what she believed, and it was granted to her.
And then we can't deny. I always would feel bad because I would say, let's just say, I don't feel good. And just leave it there. You gotta say, oh, I'm not feeling good, but by his stripes I'm healed. You gotta put the butt and the tail end. Because you can't deny what's happening in your body at that
Right.
moment.
You're not discounting that it's not
Yeah,
there.
yeah, 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 yeah. But by his stripes.
But what Micah said earlier, him
But
that lives in me is bigger than
yeah,
this.
right.
So I'm going to win this. We sang a song about how he's the heel and he steps on Serpent's head. You know, he's the one that carries the big stick in this
Yeah.
body right here. So he's the one that's going to bring me the victory.
And we can't speak the word if we don't read it. We've got to be in our word.
Truth will set you free, but only the truth that you know. If you don't read the word, how are you going to know? Yeah, you come here Sunday, I can read you these truths. You think Satan wants you to remember it by Thursday? He's going to bring you a
We just
million
keep,
other things to think about.
yeah, see it on the side that gets flipped away.
I'm living proof of that. Okay, Manny, will you pray for us? Absolutely.
Father, we thank you so much for this teaching, this speak out the things that we need to in our lives, bring this stuff out of darkness, even if it doesn't feel good. So I really thank you for this word being brought today. I lift up everyone here and their families and ask for you to bless the rest of our days and bless Kendra, the boys, and bless this drive, Carolyn back home. Father, we thank you so much for everything you do in our lives. Praise you, Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.